Well, I want to thank Jeff and Michael for allowing me the privilege of being up here and teaching God's word to all of you. You know, my wife and I, we've lived in Florida now for over 2 years, and we definitely miss the fellowship and the leaders that, the fellowship of the leaders and the believers, you know, in New Jersey. But we've met a lot of wonderful believers that we have the privilege of sharing God's word with and moving God's word in Florida. You know, for a lot of us, we took Power for Abundant Living from Dr. Werwell, 12 sessions, and that class changed our life. You know, and maybe for some of us at the end of the class, we spoke in tongues for the first time. And I remember that night, and that class changed my life, and it probably changed yours also. If you took it, maybe that was the first night you ever spoke in tongues. And the name of that class was what? Power for Abundant Living. So tonight I'd like to teach a little bit on the manifestations of the Spirit and the outreach of God's Word. And a subtitle could be Outreach Through Word and Works. Outreach through Word and Works. You know, I would like to have an exciting life, and I think all of us would like to have an exciting life. And some of the most exciting times in my life is when I've had the privilege to go to Disney World. No, not really. You know, Drew was talking about getting up in the morning and being an ambassador and representing God, and that's an exciting thing. And I know sometimes life is difficult. We all have our ups and downs. There's pressure in our life and whatever. But, you know, I can look back in my life, and some of the most exciting times I've ever had in my life is when I knew that God was working in my life and that I was walking with God and that, you know, operating manifestations. And I think some of you definitely know what I'm talking about. When you know that God is telling you to do something or you lay hands on somebody and they get delivered, you know, and you don't need to go to Harvard to do this. You don't need to be a speed reader. You don't need to be intellectual. This is God's plan. He gave every single believer, Holy Spirit, and the ability to operate 9 manifestations. This is the life that God wants for all the believers. And you know, we want to move God's word. And guess what? He's given us power so we can move God's word. So today I want to get into a little bit about moving God's word with word and works. Outreach through deliverance. And when you read the book of Acts, it's clearly in there. You know, we talk about living life to its fullest. Remember the line for the army? Be all you can be. Yeah. You know, join the army. Be all you can be. Well, be all you can be. Operate God's power in such a wonderful way, because he's given us these things. You know, facts, sense knowledge, world wisdom hinder us from believing God's word. And in these times, sometimes we believe the world instead of the greater reality of God's word. And in this advance, we want to learn to speak God's word. We want to learn to really walk with God. So when we leave here, we have a mountaintop experience, and we can go back into the valley of human need. You know, my wife and I, we spent 36 years in New Jersey. Was that accurately, 36 years? 36 years, and we raised 2 wonderful girls here. Are you here tonight, by the way? One is here. Where's the other one? Oh, you're here. That's good. Okay. And we have a son-in-law, and he's been in our family for a long time now. Where's Ryan? Ryan. Okay. Welcome, Ryan. Hi. Ryan's been in our family for a long time. But I will say this. Since he got in our family, it's much harder to take family pictures. The reason is... he's a foot taller than all of us. And, you know, that causes problems. But sometimes, somehow, we get along. We get around that, you know? Another family member that I'd like to talk to you about for a little while, honestly, was our dog, Honey. And... wait a minute, just let me finish, it's okay. Some of you have heard many stories and secrets about Honey. I'm not going to reveal hardly any of them this evening. But Honey was a very loving dog in many ways. And Honey, if somebody came to our house and wanted to steal my wallet, and the hand was out to grab my wallet, she would be licking the hand of the robber over here. She loved everybody. She definitely loved everybody. And I have to say, I know some of you are very good dog trainers. I wasn't exactly the world's greatest dog trainer. So we lived in a place and it had no fences. So, and this dog had a habit of running away from home. So when I would take her outside and give her some exercise, I would put her on a long leash and I would have her go around me like you would lunge a horse, you know, and she would go around and go around and boy, she'd get a lot of exercise and be all worn out and then she could go inside and fall asleep and do whatever. So one day I had a really good idea. And that is, I was going to do that with her and then take the leash off her and do it again and see if she would do it. That could have been really stupid. But you know what? I did it, and then she got all into it. I took the leash off, and she went around and around and around and around, just like she had the leash on. And then all of a sudden, she realized that it wasn't there. Then I never saw her again. She disappeared. Guy, am I doing okay? Okay, thank you. He's a professional dog trainer. So, no, she came back. But you know, that's just like us. We get trained by the world, and we go around and around and around and around. And one day we hear the word, and we start to believe the word, and that sets us free. But then we have to realize that that leash of unbelief and doubt and fear is gone from our life. And maybe being here and hearing all this word of God, you know, we realize that that leash isn't there anymore, that we can be free. We are free, and we can realize that in our life. And that happens when that word of God gets in our brain. Most of us have heard the phrase or sentence, the renewed mind is the key to what?
Power.
The renewed mind is the key to what?
Power.
Power. The more of God's word we put in our brains, the more we'll think like God. The more of God's word we put in our brains, the more we will walk for God. We can carry out what he would want us to do as our minds become renewed. So, what we're going to do today is look at a few scriptures that show the outreach of the word is about word and works. And then also after that, we'll read a few records. But let's go with me for a minute to Mark chapter 1 and verse 37. Mark chapter 1 and verse 37. How are we doing today, okay? Mark chapter 1 and verse 37. You know, in the Bible, there's no formula for the outreach of the word. I think you could say it's really great to walk with God, but there are a couple things here that go hand in hand, and that's word and its works. Word and works. Word and works. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 37. Mark 1, 37. It says, "And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I what? Came I forth to preach. And he preached in the synagogues throughout and cast out what? Devils. It was word and works. His ministry was to teach the word, and then there was power that followed along. Mark chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3. Mark 3 and verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to do what?
Preach.
And have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out what?
Devils.
That other verse that we read, Jesus Christ preached the word and he cast out devils. Here in this situation, he had the 12 to be with him. And you know what they were going to do? They were going to see him do that. Remember, Drew talked about that golf club, and that guy used that golf club, and man, he could use it and hit the ball far, and then Drew said in his mind, hey, I want that too. Jesus Christ did something a lot better. Those guys were with him, and they saw him. They saw him preach. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him cast out devils. And you know what? He represented God perfectly on earth. And they looked around and he was teaching them and showing them. And you know what they did after that? They went forth and they did exactly the same. Each and every one of us in here, whether you're 12 years old or whether you're 75, we all have the ability to walk with God, to cast out spirits, to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How big do we see ourselves? It's word and works in the situation. Mark chapter 16, please. I think Joe hit this today. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and in verse 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every what?
Creature.
Now, God's word is to be taken literally whenever and wherever possible, except for figures of speech or orientalisms. Is that true? Yes, it is. So we're to take God's word literally, except for figures of speech or orientalisms. So, you know, my wife and I, we live in Florida now, so I've been speaking God's word to iguanas in the backyard, and I've had no reaction whatsoever. So I've come to the conclusion that this must be a figure of speech. And he said unto them, Go ye in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're creatures, and so it's a figure of speech, adding emphasis to the situation. Preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new what?
Tongues.
Jesus Christ prophesied about these times. And so here he was to preach, and then he talked about works. He talked about deliverance. Look here in verse 19 of this chapter, it says, And so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached the word, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with what?
Signs
following. Word and works. Word and works. Word and works. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 1, please. Acts 1. Let's live life to the fullest. Some of the most exciting things you'll ever do in your life is to walk with God and see God direct you, see, and you can bring to pass God's will and God's deliverance in situations. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive what?
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So they were to be witnesses. And in the context, it's power. In the context, it's power. In Acts chapter 2, they spoke in tongues, Peter's sermon, and so many people were added to the church. It was word, it was works. And when we speak the truth of God's word today, it's that same truth as those guys taught. And you know what? We can operate power and God can direct us. Those people spoke in tongues, and man, so many people. And that set the standard there for the outreach of the word in the first century church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. Jerry read this last night. Word and works. Do it. Donnie Fugit's definition of Christianity. Do you remember that? Do it. First. Not all the response to that one. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in what?"
Power.
Word and works. Word and works. Word and works. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So there's not a big formula here we're talking about, but very simply, it's the spoken word or the word of God, and then people see something. And these great movements of God's word in the first century and in the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was about the Bible, it was about the truth, and there was deliverance. As we heard before, we take the place of the absent Christ. So we're going to look at a few records tonight, some of people walking by revelation, and we're going to see some records about some healings and deliverance and see how that helped with the outreach of God's word. Take your Bibles, everybody, and let's go to John chapter 4, please. John 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, there's a few things here that before we read it, I'd like you to keep this stuff in mind. You know, witnessing is a way of life. It's not something that we do just because we go out to do it. It's a way of life. And you know, it's really great when we're talking to somebody, then it's an art to be able to bring God's word in the conversation. And you know, if you want to witness to somebody, a great thing to do is to learn to talk to people. Because it's very different or difficult to witness, you know, to speak God's word unless we know how to speak to people, right? Right?
Right.
It is. So it's very good to learn to talk to people. Learn to talk to people. And we're going to see revelation in a witnessing situation. And we're going to see what one person can do when they get very turned on to the word. Look at John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4, it says here in verse 4. and he must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus Christ was going through Samaria, which a lot of the Judeans didn't do. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus upon the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to what?
Drink.
Have you ever been tired?
Yes.
Have you ever been thirsty?
No.
That's not necessarily being out witnessing, is it? You're just tired and thirsty, and there Jesus was, and he was talking to a woman. Maybe we would go into a 7-Eleven, or we would be sitting in a park or whatever and start a conversation. Jesus Christ was just talking. He wasn't out witnessing intent. He was going somewhere, and he was tired, and he was thirsty. Then he starts talking to this woman, and then he brings the conversation around to the word. First of all, we have to get in a conversation. Second of all, we learn to get the word in the conversation. We're not going to get all these details here, but he starts to talk about living water. And she's like, what? Living water? And then pretty soon, she's curious. And then after a while, she wants living water. And so he has her attention, and now he's all into it, and she's all into it. And now we're going to go here to John chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 15. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now here's a weird thing. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call your husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he who you now have is not thy husband. In that saidst thou what?
Truly.
Now this woman was blown away, wasn't she? And then she says in verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a what?
Prophet.
Good. I think most of us in here have witnessed to a few people in life, right? Have you witnessed to a few people? So, he's out there, he's thirsty, he's tired, he starts a conversation, he wants some water, he starts talking to the woman, and in the middle of this conversation, he gets revelation about some very private things in this woman's life, and the woman is blown away. So what does this mean for us? Well, suppose we're talking to a person, we're witnessing to them. Maybe we can, as Dr. Werwell said, reach up into daddy's cookie jar and ask God if there's something that you could tell this person that would bless them, that would change their life, that would, you know, somehow get in their heart. We can walk by the manifestations of the Spirit. Are we doing God's will, speaking the word? Well, why can't God help us? In this situation, he gave Jesus Christ revelation. What's this teaching on? Word and works, moving God's word. Maybe you're going to be talking to somebody and God will show you that this person is a masochist. How are you going to deal with that? Or maybe God is going to show you that this person is depressed and you're going to feel very, very pressured down. Or maybe God is going to tell you that this person has a giant headache. And then God will tell you and show you what you need to do with that information. Maybe you need to tell that person, Dylan, hey, do you get headaches? Do you have a headache? No, I'm just asking. And he's going to go, how did you know that? And maybe it's God's will that you minister healing to him right on the spot. How big do we see our life? How big do we see us? We take the place of the absent Christ. One time, I told a guy, you cut yourself, don't you? You cut yourself on your penis, don't you? He was a man, by the way, just in case. You got to clarify these things these days. He wound up taking Power for Abundant Living. Now, I wouldn't try that in all situations, in case you said that.
I told you not to tell anyone.
Okay. Okay. This man needs to be prayed for. It. Think about it. Can God give you information? I mean, look at what happened here. You've had five husbands. God wants us to move the word. Why can't? You can switch seats if you want. He's a bad influence. Okay, so here it says, and the woman, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. We're going to skip down here to verse 25. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah, he's going to come, which is called Christ. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. She was a cool believer, wasn't she? She was looking forward to the Christ. Verse 26, and Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am what?
He.
And she said unto him, don't BS me, I'm from New Jersey. Is that what she said? Let's see what she said. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And then it goes, and then verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men in the town, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the what?
Christ.
Did it help him and this woman that he told her all this stuff? It sure did in that situation. There was tremendous profit. And she forgets her water pot, something that she shouldn't have done. But this was bigger than the culture. Man, when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the stuff in our life that used to be so important ain't so important anymore. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. The woman at the well, let's see what she does over here. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Wow. She was blown away, and she went like the song. She went to go, go, go and speak, speak, speak. Nobody told her to do it. She met the master, and it changed her life. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. He hung out with them, and many more believed because of his own what?
Word.
She spoke the word, and a lot of them believed. And then other ones went out to see him, and then they believed also. The woman at the well. Maybe you're going to witness to the next woman at the well. Maybe you're going to witness to the next Apostle Paul. Maybe God is going to tell you something. But you know, when you reach up into daddy's cookie jar, sometimes there's no cookies in there. But you know, it's a good habit to get in the habit of, hey, is there anything, God, I can tell in the situation? Aren't we supposed to do? Some of you are looking at me kind of weird. But let me ask you a question. Aren't we supposed to do the same things that Jesus did? I think I read that in there somewhere. What a great record in God's word. Outreach through deliverance, walking with God. You know, that's amazing. So if we wanna, a good thing to do is be friendly. Let's speak God's word. All right, so let's take a look here at another one. So let's take a look here at Acts chapter 8, please. Acts 8, very briefly. She said, come and see a man, Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and in verse 26. Somebody read this one before. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go down toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert or its wilderness. Gaza, I wouldn't want to go to Gaza these days. I don't think you would either. But you know, the Lord said to him, go down there. And so the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So you know the story here. This was, he goes down there. He meets the guy in the middle of nowhere. The guy in the middle of nowhere is reading the Old Testament. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And da-da-da-da-da-da. Out in the middle of nowhere. Look at the timing of all this. So, can God direct us to go somewhere to help people or speak God's word?
Yes.
Can you give me a verse on that? That one right there. That's excellent. Yes, that's very good. Thank you. You get an A. Yeah, God can direct us, and that's by revelation. How about Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3 and at verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall what?
Direct thy path.
So God can direct our paths. Can he direct our paths with his written word? And he can direct our paths by revelation as he did with Philip right there. Right, Monty? Yeah, he can. He can direct our paths. And that's another thing. Why can't he show us things? He designed this. This was his idea. It's not like we're egotistical to say these things because this is what the word says. Have you ever looked for a house or apartment? You ever done that? That could be a pain in the butt, right? You know, a friend of mine recently was looking for an apartment in a very, very difficult place to find an apartment. And she talked to a few real estate agents, and these agents told her, there's no way on earth you're going to get what you're looking for. So that wasn't all good news. So one night she was praying and she had that verse in her mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy what?
Paths.
So as she was thinking about this verse, she got a picture in her mind about a certain apartment. God gave her a picture, a vision of what of an apartment. So that happened, and then, a few days later, some real estate agent called her up and said, hey, I got a listing over here, you wanna check it out? And she said, nah, that's not the place that I really wanted to go, so she blew him off. And then 2 weeks later, she was looking all around and around and around, couldn't find anything. She was annoyed, discouraged, whatever. And then she realized that, a couple of weeks ago, this she had this listing and she blew off. So she called up the agent again and said, hey, you know, I'm interested in this. You know, can I see this? So sure enough, she goes over to where this listing is, and it is exactly the picture she had. Can God direct us? We just saw it in God's word, and there's other examples we might hear later on in the weekend. Can God direct you? Does God care about apartments? Does God care about folks? All right, let's look just at a few records here about the operation of the manifestations of the impartation manifestations. Look at Matthew chapter 4, please. We got to see ourselves a lot bigger and not be on the leash of unbelief. Remember, honey? Let's let honey teach us a lesson. We need to expand our vision. The outreach of God's word, word and works, outreach through deliverance. Where am I here? Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 23, Matthew 4, is this what I want here? Matthew 4 and in verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. By the way, that apartment that this person got, it was exactly what she wanted. I'll read 23 again. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all of Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Verse 25, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and beyond Jordan. A lot of people followed him. Why? There was word and there was massive works. We want a whole lot of people. Man, we need to speak God's word and operate the power of God. That's God's will. To me, that's very exciting. Let's take a look here at Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. It's awful quiet in here. Acts chapter 3. Okay, Acts chapter 3 and in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We have the power, we have power of attorney. And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? Can you imagine that scene? Those people, they knew this guy because he was laid daily over there. People went in and out of the house of the temple and they saw him. And all of a sudden, this guy, he gets up and he starts jumping up and down, walking and leaping and praising God. outreach through deliverance. And so many people knew about this guy. You know, one time we did a fellowship in a park, and this guy, after the fellowship, came up and he wanted to be ministered to. And he had a broken ankle or a broken leg, I kind of forget. But I ministered to him in the name of Jesus Christ, and he got up and he started walking and leaping and praising God, and he started running around the thing, the park. And we started a class on Power for Abundant Living the week after, and he was in it and some of his buddies. Why? Because he was delivered, walking and leaping and praising God. We all have the same Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a bad idea to picture yourself doing something like that. It's not egotistical. It's not weird. It's like, this is God's heart, God's intention for all of us, right? Am I making this up? It's in there. How about Acts chapter 4? So people knew him. They knew this guy. Everybody knew him because they saw him when they went into the temple. In Acts chapter, what am I? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And in verse 13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived, these are the Judean leaders here. By the way, Peter and John just got thrown into jail. They got thrown into jail and they got out. And you know, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just speaking God's word and blessing people and healing people and all that. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, then perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with what?
Jesus.
So they walked with power, didn't they? Do you have to be intellectual to walk with power? Do you have to be a Harvard grad or be a speed reader? Not at all. You have to believe God. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing what? They couldn't say anything against it. There he was. They were doing they spoke the word, and there was the works. The works was this guy was healed. Word and works. So there they was. And these guys, they didn't want God's word to move, and they would discredit anything. But they couldn't discredit this guy because everybody knew him, and there he was standing up, walking around normal. So they had a problem. They wanted to stop the word, and the word moves with word and works, but there was the works, and they couldn't stop that because there it was staring at them in the face. So what did they do? And beholding the man, verse 14, which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and it's manifest to all them that dwelt in Jerusalem. And guess what? We can't deny it. But here's the plan, that it spread no further among the people. They didn't want God's word to spread. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in what? So look, if God's word moves because of word and works, in this situation, they couldn't deny the works. So they were going to do their best to turn off people speaking God's word. Verse 17, that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. These dudes had juice. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Guess what? Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and what?
Heard.
They just got out of jail and these guys were telling them to shut up and they would not do it. They couldn't deny the man healed. So what were they going to try to do? Put fear in these people so they wouldn't speak. But remember, God's word moves with word and works. Word and works. And to close, let's take a look at John chapter 14, please. John 14. So we saw a bunch of verses here that very simply in the verse show word and works. Word and works. And then we read some records to show how by revelation, stuff happened and then people were delivered. We saw revelation in John chapter 4 where John... where Jesus had revelation about the woman and her husbands. Then we looked at another record where Philip was told where to go, and because he was told where to go, this person was out in the middle of nowhere reading the Bible, and he went up to him, and the guy got all turned on and all that. And then we saw other records where there was signs, miracles, and wonders. There was God's power. There were people delivered. And it's word and works. Word and works. Word and works. How big do we see ourselves? It's not egotistical to believe God's word. It's not egotistical to say, I am what the Word of God says I am. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. It's not egotistical to agree with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it?
No.
John chapter 14, please. John 14 and in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he's going to do also. Was Jesus Christ a liar?
No.
So that means he's talking about you and me because we believe the word, and this is what we can do. We take the place of the absent Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Man, I want God's word to move in all over the United States and many countries around the world and all that. And I believe a lot of you guys have that same vision. And how are we going to do this? We're going to speak God's word and we're going to walk with God, and God really wants to help us. And you know, that makes for the most exciting life. Life is tough sometimes, I know. But man, when we operate the power of God, nine manifestations, and we're doing things that are beyond the senses, man, that to me is super exciting. So let's learn more. Let's believe more. Let's act more on God's word and what he's called us. Let's move God's word. Let's believe God's word. Let's operate. Let's speak God's word and have some wonderful works that God would have us to do. God moved in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, and now it's our move. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this wonderful night. Thank you for giving us power. Thank you for giving us the ability and the vision to be able to carry these things out. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Thank you very much.